answering the challenge of training tomorrow's airline pilots. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, Aero News Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell began a discussion with Captain Gary Beck, President and CEO of Delta Connection Academy, about a looming pilot shortage in the airline industry. Let's hear the conclusion of that interview. Here's Jim Campbell.
Captain Beck, it's been a tough industry, not exactly the best of times in some ways, and we hopefully the worst of times are behind us as we're heading into what appears to be a more stable and more profitable industry. It's one thing to learn to fly. It's another thing to learn to fly in the system. It's another to have a career in this business and stay with it. How much career guidance, how much training are they getting above and beyond what's in the cockpit and so forth to be able to be prepared for what's going to be an increasingly complex industry?
Right. I'm always available, and I speak with our instructors and our students to let them know, what the pitfalls of the industry are. As you mentioned before, Jim, I think currently anyways, even as painful as it was for the carriers like Delta that went through bankruptcy, they've established a new ability to compete, and I think that's key. I think the stability of the industry is not like it's been for quite some time. So we meet with the students, we meet with the instructors, and give them career guidance along those lines to let them know what it's like out there in the world. And as a matter of fact, just last night I was speaking to four instructors, and we were discussing family life. And although you're away from home for long periods of time, and some individuals can't deal with that and decide that they would rather do something else. I think it's something that I've been fortunate with, and I think we tell them, if you're going to get married and you want to be an airline pilot, you better be sure that your spouse is on board with you, because it is a different lifestyle and there are different challenges. Although in the long run, the time off that you get once you get out of the junior situation certainly enabled me to do things like coach my son's Little League team, coach my daughter's softball team, and participate in a lot of their activities that other parents that work 9-to-5 were unable to do. So, obviously there's pluses, there's minuses, but we want to make sure that our students and our instructors know about those.
Well, I'm glad to see that kind of balance being brought to the process. Let's go back to the shortage issue here. I hear an underlying current that this could be a critical problem for this industry in the not-too-distant future. How bad do we expect this problem to be? And obviously, you have a solution for part of that, but what does the industry really need to do to be prepared to produce pilots for an industry that's obviously got no choice but to grow?
Right. I think, and it's a very fair question, and I'm not sure I've got the crystal ball to give you the answer. I think if you look at other countries, China, for example, China's airlines actually pay for their pilots' flight training. China hires airline pilots, as strange as this sounds, with 0 hours of flight time. And we're training some of the Chinese. We've got about 100 of them on campus right now. It hasn't reached that proportion, obviously, in the United States. It's close to reaching that in India, but I would see the possibility in the future of the regional carriers or the airlines themselves reaching a state where they may have to step up to the plate and actually pay for some of the, if not all of the training that an ab initio pilot needs. That's out in the future, and we've never experienced that. But I think it's a possibility in the future to see that.
Fascinating. These days, when you have somebody walk through the door, that you qualify them, you make sure that he or she is really prepared for this, both professionally, psychologically, educationally, and, of course, financially. What's the path look like these days? From the first day they walk in the door to the possibility of first real live airline job, what's that look like? What's that path look like these days?
Basically, if a student is driven, and I'm going to be honest with you, Jim, we do push our students to get through the program as quickly as possible, obviously safety being number one, but they can complete their private instrument multi-engine ratings in less than a year. Then they kind of have a career path decision to make at that point. They can go through our CFI and CFII program and then interview to come back to work for us, which we do plow about 80% of our people back as instructors, bill time for about another for about a year after that, go through our bridge program, and they will be ready for the airlines. Or they could elect to try to go with a carrier with after completion of their multi-engine rating. Now, there'll be very low time, probably somewhere around 250 hours at that point, and I only know of one regional carrier that is hiring with that low of flight time. I personally think that's a risk for the individual to try to get through a program as sophisticated as a CRJ program with that kind of flight time. But we have had some students do that and have been successful. Some have not been, that have chosen that path. So the path that we recommend is the path that I mentioned first, to come back with us as an instructor and fly for about 800 hours of dual given, after which we give them the bridge course. It's about a $5,000 retail course that we give them for fulfilling their instructor obligations. And like I mentioned before, we have a 99% plus pass rate of those types of graduates.
ANN's Jim Campbell is talking today with Gary Beck, President and CEO of Delta Connection Academy. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com. Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 and 400 are now available with either an Avadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit. The new Garmin G1000 equipped Columbia 350 and 400 have just been introduced with the new ReadyPad. While the G1000 panel integrates all navigation and flight instruments into two high-resolution screens, incorporating GPS, nav, comm, autopilot, transponder, and flight director into one easy-to-use package. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. Today, we're hearing the conclusion of a discussion between ANN's Jim Campbell and Captain Gary Beck of Delta Connection Academy.
You've seen the industry change a great deal. The days of the Western 737 and that type of industry on through to where you finished up line with Delta has seen just tremendous highs and lows. What do you think right now of today's airline career? When you look back at where you've been and, of course, now training and watching your graduates go into it, and I'm sure they're calling back and letting you know what they're dealing with, positive and negative, as they work their way through the industry. What's the career like now? How has it changed, and is it really worth pursuing?
Yeah, great question, Jim. I obviously, once again, I go back to if you have a passion for flying, I don't know of any other profession that could satisfy that passion other than being either an airline pilot or a corporate pilot. I've seen gone from the highest paid pilot group, Delta's contract in 2000, to taking some fairly large pay cuts as we approached and then, of course, went through the bankruptcy experience. Hopefully, our graduates won't see that. As I mentioned before, I think there's a stability out there, and I think there's been a lot of lessons learned by the carriers, and they will not repeat those lessons that got them into the financial situations that that they were in. So I think the future is terrific. Even with the age 60, if it were to change to 65, which I'm confident it will, you're still going to see some heavy retirements. I believe it's about 30,000 over the next 10 years, even with the age change. So the ability to progress up through the regionals, through the right seat into the left seat, and then up to the majors and progress up through the co-pilot and into the captain's seat, that future, I think, is terrific. So I highly encourage someone to pursue their dream and be a professional pilot.
Well, outstanding. I'm pleased to see that you've got an optimistic look for the industry after everything we've been through. It's refreshing to hear it from somebody who's obviously spent a lot of time in grade. Are you seeing, and if you don't mind, one last question here. Are you seeing any difference or any changes in the kind of people that are coming through the academy now? I mean, are these people better prepared, less prepared? I mean, we're talking about a generation raised on iPods and probably had flight sim at one time or another and are certainly more geared to a more technically challenging environment. Is today's erstwhile airline pilot better qualified to take a start on this than before?
That is a terrific question. And let's talk about two things. First, what we've seen from a demographic standpoint and the ages of our students, and then also the technology piece. Back prior to 9/11, and actually for a year or so after 9/11, we had a large piece of our student population were what I called career changers, people that were anywhere from their late 20s up through their late 30s that said, you know, I've been an accountant or I've been a salesman and I want to be an airline pilot and I'm making a career change. When the industry got in the tough times and of course it was in all the news, the pilot contracts being renegotiated, airlines furloughing pilots and laying pilots off, we saw that demographic drop. The career changers, for all intents and purposes, went away, and we saw the age drop down to 18-year-olds right out of high school up through 25 to be the majority of our class makeup. That's changing again, and we're seeing, as the industry stabilizes and turns around, we're now seeing that demographic start to move back up to the more mid-20s to mid-30s. And so that's one aspect of it. The other is, from a technology standpoint, you are absolutely right on. These kids that have been, you know, iPod and electronic games and AeroSim players for so long, to them, to look at a PFD that is glass really doesn't scare them. It doesn't scare them as much as it scared me when I had to transition from a 727 round dial airplane into the 7576 glass cockpit. So I think it absolutely is a plus and we see it.
Well, outstanding. First of all, I want to thank you for your time. This has just been a fun interview, and also one that frankly confirmed some of the impressions I was getting from people that I've been talking to in the industry, and it's nice to see that, one, there's a sense of optimism, and two, there are people taking the future of this business so seriously. We've talked to some of your folks, and we're going to have to bring an Aero TV crew out to see you guys in the not-too-distant future and get up close and personal, not just with what you're doing, but how you're doing it and on location all, so we're looking forward to that.
We would love to have you out, Jim. We're real proud to We're in the construction phase right now, as I'm sure you know, of a new 27,000 square foot hangar slash sim hall that will support our new fleet and also support our level 3 and level 6 flight training devices that we're bringing on board. In fact, we're getting our first two AATDs, level 3 flight training devices, next week. And so we would love to have you come out with your crew and show you around.
Well, we look forward to it, sir. We wish you continued success. And if you don't mind, as this industry continues to make progress and deal with issues, positive and negative, I'd like to come back and talk to you now and then about that and see what you think of what's happening.
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
For those of you looking for more information on the Delta Connection Academy, you can call them direct through their 800 number, which is 1-800-YOU-CAN-FLY. That's U as in letter U, can fly, uniform, Charlie, Alpha, November, Fox, Lima, Yankee. Or visit them on the web, our favorite place, at www.deltaconnectionacademy.com. That would be Delta Connection Academy as one word. And once again, Captain Beck, thanks for your time. We sure appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Captain Gary Beck is President and CEO of Delta Connection Academy. Jim Campbell is ANN's Editor-in-Chief. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.